Hello, my name is Robin Sheridan, Spirit Whisperer, the title given to me by my soul guides. When we choose to awaken to our soul path, we become aware of how deeply connected we are to universal consciousness on a spiritual, physical, and emotional level. Join me on my podcast journey and learn how to connect to your heart, mind, body, and soul, creating connection in all areas of your life. Hi, Jill. How are you today?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Good. This is Robin Sheridan at doing her coffee chat podcast. And today our guest is Jill Coletti, who is a Reiki healer. Jill, can you tell us how you chose your profession?
Well, thank you so much first, Robin, for having me. Yes, how I chose my profession, I was kind of just following my intuition. And I was at the time when I found Reiki was in the corporate world. And I went through the first two attunements, Reiki 1, Reiki 2, working on myself. And the more involved I got with Reiki and the more I worked on it for my own personal life, I decided this is something that I would like to share with as many people as possible. So I decided to leap out of the corporate world and start my own thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that must have taken a lot of bravery to, step out of a solid career and move into something different.
Yes, absolutely. I think it was the first time probably in my entire life that I didn't have this full on big plan, but I was, just going with it and trusting the universe, and I took the leap and I couldn't be happier.
Oh, well, I've checked out your website. It's pretty amazing. And I believe that you work with mothers, do you not?
I do. That is really, I would say moms are who I resonate the most with, because I have struggled myself as a mom with almost like losing my identity to a point and just identifying as I'm a mom. And when I got into the world of Reiki and was working on my own healing as a mom, I felt my children were actually helping me and almost pushing me to desire to be a better human and a better mom. And overall, to get to know myself better as a human and as a spiritual being so that I could be the best example for them. I didn't want them, I didn't want my children in their 40s to then just be discovering who they are. And so I felt just this real pull to work with moms to connect and help them heal, help them kind of find themselves outside of just the roles that we play in life and who they are, who you are as a mom. Yes, you're definitely a mom, but there's so much more to you. So I really, obviously I do work with other people as well, but I have a, very big piece of my heart in working with moms who, just like me.
Yeah, that's really interesting because, when, I'm 60, I don't know how old you are, but I'm assuming you're still in your 30s because your kids are very young.
Oh man, I wish I was in my 30s. I'm actually 43. Right now, but.
Okay. My mom, back then, it's interesting because moms were all about being the best housewife and being the best wife and keeping a good home and all of those kind of things. And it put a lot of pressure on them. So mm-hmm. Do you find that some of your moms still kind of have that energy that they think they have to be all about the husband and the child and the house and kind of forget about themselves?
Absolutely. I feel like there's a few things that I feel come into play. There's that piece where you're the role of wife and the role of mom. I'm now divorced, but when I was married, that is a big piece of where I almost like lost my identity in those roles. So I was making sure that my husband was happy and I was making sure my children were happy. But in doing so, I, in losing myself, kind of became unhappy with me, which actually helped, like, I lost my connection with them because I was not connected with myself. And I definitely find that there are moms in that same boat. There's the piece of playing those roles, and then there's the comparison game, because especially these days in social media, with the social media world, you know, you're looking like all these other moms are doing so much. And it's like that, you know, their lives are perfect. They have these great moms. So you're comparing yourselves to others, and then you're feeling like you've got to get so much done and you've got to do so much. Where if we actually take a step back and simplify a little bit and go inside, we actually are much happier, and so are our families. But there is a lot, just a lot of pressure, and a lot of it we're just putting on ourselves, a lot of pressure and a lot of judgment.
Yeah, our society, you know, there's some really benefits about being online because you can find a support system. But then there also, there's the other part of it where you get criticized a lot. Yes. And, you know, I find we have to be really discerning. And the smartest thing to do is not to respond. Just unfriend them.
Right?
Delete, exactly. Delete, delete.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you found yourself at your crossroads, what was the strongest impulse that you had? Like, I know that I was, when I decided that I was going to retire at 61 and do this full time, there was, you know, some anxiety in there and a little bit of, you know, what if, how did you prepare yourself to support yourself during that whole first dive into becoming an entrepreneur?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, there's a lot of what ifs. There still is. there's still that fear. I think the biggest things is, I mean, I actually had a coach that I was working with. So someone that I could talk to, that kind of helped me, and she's very spiritual, and we're able to connect in that way. But preparing myself, really, it was a lot of meditation, and I know you're very into that. Mm-hmm. So a lot of meditation, a lot of connecting with myself to find, is this truly my path? A lot of, I guess, acknowledging the fear that was there, but weighing that against what if I didn't do it? So like, there's a lot of what ifs. There's the what if I do it, and then there's the what if I didn't do it. And, you know, I come from a family of entrepreneurs, never necessarily super successful, but I knew that it would take a lot of work. So having that mindset of it taking a lot of work, I knew that it would. It still does. I probably work more now, even though I thought I worked so much then. Mm-hmm. I probably work more now. But it's more of a lifestyle. It's just, it was like, what type of lifestyle do I desire to live? And not financial wise. It was, you know, it's the freedom of time, the freedom of, you know, making my own choices and just living the path. You know, the world I was living in was not fully, you know, surrounded by, you know, what I enjoyed. So, I mean, it's a lot, and I still have to convince, you know, I still have to talk myself and out of it, you know, into things and out of things probably on the daily basis, but it's a lot more fulfilling. So it's worth it to me.
Yeah. It's amazing when it's funny because I really believe that I wouldn't be able to do it. I had kind of talked myself into the belief that I wouldn't be able to do it. And one day I just kind of got up and said, you know, I promised myself that when I was 60, I'd do this full time. I'm 60. I really need to make it work. And as soon as I made that decision, spirit just opened all kinds of doors so that I could do it.
Yeah.
It's amazing when you believe in your spirit guides and your spirituality and that, you know, you're moving forward. Now, you mentioned you're divorced, and I am too, which is okay. No problem with that. But did the relationship break down before or during or after?
It was before. So, it was before I really found my own spirituality. I mean, I think there were pieces and I was searching. So I feel like I've always been on a journey, right? I've always been searching for that something. Mm-hmm. But I hadn't found, you know, Reiki yet. I hadn't found those things until after. And I feel like there was that piece of, you know, feeling like you're being judged and feeling like maybe that's not the right way and just not being fully open. Like you were saying about being open and knowing that you can do it. I was questioning myself so much and I was questioning my own intuition. Like I just didn't believe in myself. So after we got divorced, I did a lot of soul searching and it was just like, what do I desire to have for my own life personally? And I've always been open to trying new things. So I just started going to things. I went to like a spiritual retreat. I went to a couple different ones and met new people. And then I was just introduced to Reiki and I just felt a pull. So it got to the point where I was starting to trust my intuition again. I think when a relationship is, you know, like ultimately failing in some way, I mean, I think that, you know, there was a reason why, you know, he was in my life for a reason. There's no, you know, I have no, negative feelings towards that. There's always a reason for it. But there was like a failure feeling for me for so long. And I just did not trust myself. It took me a while to really work through that.
Yeah, I hear you. I can so empathize with that because I tell people I was kind of on a spiritual hobby. I would, at times when my relationships fell apart, I would dive deep into my spirituality and I'd dive deep into who I wanted to be. I'd go to the library and come home with 20 self-help books.
Oh, yes.
You know, do the whole whatever. And then I would get caught up in the next relationship and then my spirituality would go back on the shelf. And, you know, it wasn't till the last relationship really fell apart that I actually fell apart. I literally crumbled and completely walked away from my whole spirituality for 5 years. It took me 5 years of grieving because I felt so stupid. And I like, why didn't I know this guy was a narcissist? Why didn't I know he was manipulating me? Why couldn't I tap into him? And I learned so much. I learned that we can be addicted to our soul partners. Two people can be addicted on a soul level. They can become incredibly codependent. Mm-hmm. And when I finally dug myself out of that 5 years worth of grief and started, you know, going back and doing the meditations and talking to my spirit guides, I was given that amazing information. And then it took me 5 years to clean all that garbage up, but I did it. So what was your big spiritual aha moment that you feel really set you on your path?
Yeah, I can really relate to what you were saying about the books. So I've always been like the queen of self-help books, I feel like. And for so many years, I was always reading. So I was always reading up on it, but I was not necessarily taking the action. So it was like I was dreaming and feeling and taking, you know, not actually taking the action. And, you know, my kind of aha moment, you know, I've had a few probably over this time, but it was like the one day when I was at a daily retreat. It was like a, you know, 5 or 6 hour thing. And I had been introduced to sound healing and meditation and some other things that day. And we did a death meditation.
So
she walked us through like our last day on earth.
Oh, death. Okay.
Yes. Sorry. Death meditation. Okay. So she walked us through our last day on earth.
Yeah.
And there was just a lot of things that came up and it was like, why do I desire now that I'm really living? So it came back, okay, you're still alive. And I was like, well, why am I living this way? And then she started talking about how she was going to be a tuning. She was doing a Reiki certification for Reiki One. And I trusted my gut for like the first time in a long time to take a leap to do that for myself. And that was huge. And then really, to be honest, there was a lot of just little ones. I started meditating literally just 5 minutes every day. And the consistency of doing it every single day, I would have the messages just started coming. So I was connecting with not only myself, but my spirit guides and those around me. So there was just, you know, and I guess it was, I definitely had some aha moments, but it was really just that the aha of, wow, I can actually trust myself again.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And it does, it takes a while because our self-esteem really gets crushed when a relationship falls, and it's a climb back. It really is. But I'm fascinated with this 5 minute meditation because I have to tell you, I cannot get, you know, it takes me a good 15, 20 minutes before I can shut my brain, turn everything away and start listening. So how do you do it in 5 minutes?
Well, so it's funny you say that. So, so many moms, I feel like mom specifically, but really anyone. I was still in the corporate world at that point, and I was talking to my, you know, mentor and coach, and I was like, I can't meditate. And I was always thinking about, I had to have the perfect little spot. I had to sit cross-legged, you know, with a mudra, with a certain mudra, and I had to have like a blank mind. And she was like, that is so not real. So she kind of just was like, just do it. Cause I was like, I can't do it. I've got to set aside a half an hour and I've got to do all this. And she was like, why do you have to have, she just like posed the questions of, why do you have to have a certain spot? Why do you have to have a certain period of time? So she was like, where could you do it that you feel like you would be, you know, alone and you'd have time? And I said, you know what? I'm going to start doing it in my car, in the parking garage before I walk into work. Okay. So I would drop off the kids. I would get up, do all my stuff, get the kids ready, drop them off at daycare, drive all the way to work. And then I would sit in my in the parking garage, put a little bit of soft music on, or sometimes just nothing, and just sit there. And like you said about your mind going, it definitely goes, right? So the first, however long, you know, probably a couple of weeks, my mind probably didn't really shut off. Right. But with the consistency, and this is what I talk to people about, I talk to all the moms that I work with, everyone I work with, I said, it's the consistency. So it's better to have 5 minutes that you set aside for yourself to meditate every day than 20 to 30 minutes a couple times a week. And what happens is that consistency just gets you in that routine, and it is quicker and quicker for your brain, body, mind, soul to relax, because you're just getting used to it and you're like, oh, this is my time. So it's probably 4 out of the 5 minutes, your mind's probably racing, but then, you know, it'll quiet down. And then the more consistent that I am with it, I mean, I now meditate for a lot longer, but that's how I got started, was just dedicating 5 minutes. You know, I even tell moms, go hide in the bathroom and lock yourself in there for 5 minutes.
Yeah. Consistency. That's exactly what it is. I set my alarm for 4 o'clock every morning. I get up, you know, the first thing I do is I sit in my chair, I do my meditation. And, you know, today was one of the shortest meditations I've had in a long time. It was like 15 minutes, but it felt longer. I got up and looked at the clock. I'm like, what? 15 minutes?
I feel like it's just really overwhelming for a lot of people when I talk to them about it. So telling them to set aside 20 to 30 minutes is like, well, I can't do that. It's so overwhelming. So to get started, starting with literally just 5 minutes is how I did it. And it works. And now I can meditate. I could sit there for 45 minutes or an hour sometimes. And it's wonderful.
Wow. Yeah, that's really nice. I love the fact that, you know, you just by being consistent, you learn to do that 5 minutes. One of the things that when I'm really not feeling grounded part is just, even if you just go outside and stand barefooted in the grass, yes, and just feel that amazing energy.
Yes.
It is like today, I have just been out of sorts all day. I know the energy out there is crazy. How about you? How have you been feeling today?
Oh, it's, yes, I've been all over the place today. So you're not alone.
I pulled out the sage. I kid you not. This house was smoke filled. I could not settle down and really pay attention. So I saged the house and I turned around and I walked outside. I walked to the mailbox. I walked back. Took my sandals off, stood in the grass and came in, and my house was just full of smoke. So then I had to open the doors and get the fan going because the cats were like, are you nuts?
Oh, well, I always wondered, until I became like a lot more spiritual, I never realized why I'm always barefoot. So I enjoy always being barefoot as often as I can be. I do not have shoes or socks on. And all winter long, I will walk around barefoot. And I realize that it's because I enjoy being more up in the clouds. And I've always needing a little bit of grounding. So I'm always barefoot.
Yeah, I'm barefoot in my house all the time too. And, you know, just, it's nice to go outside and feel that nice, cool grass on your feet and feel grounded and those kind of things. So what kind of people... actually, that's not exactly the way I wanted to word that. What kind of people? No, that's not what I meant. So when somebody, so explain a little bit what Reiki is. I never really got into that. So let's do this at now. Explain to people how Reiki works.
Sure. Reiki is, it's a Japanese healing modality that is, you know, very, very old, but the premise of it is it stands for universal life force energy. And basically what the premise of it is that all living things, we are everything really, is made up of energy. So there is this universal life force energy that ultimately connects us all, connects everything together. And as a Reiki practitioner, you're ultimately like harnessing that energy. You're a conduit for it to help bring that energy to, you know, whoever, whatever you are sending the Reiki to. And what happens is it helps your body. It works with the energy centers of your body, the chakra system. And it helps your body to kind of heal, naturally. So, you're not using, so as a Reiki practitioner, I'm not using my energy. I'm just helping as a conduit for the energy around us. So it's a great, you know, it's a very positive healing modality. And it's really amazing to connect with people and help people to understand that there is so much that they can do to help heal themselves. This energy can actually, you know, help. It works with any blocks that you may have, whether, you know, it be physical, emotional, mental, spiritual. It helps to kind of move those blocks, which can then in turn help you to heal.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Reiki was one of the first things that, one of the first modalities, it wasn't the first, but one of the first modalities that I took as well, because I always, I figured out, or I learned later on, that I could heal with my hands. And yeah. I discovered that I could take on energy when my daughter got in a car accident. And I didn't on purpose, but I took all of her injuries from her, like energetically, and put them on my body. So she was perfectly fine after this car accident. She was perfectly healthy. And here I was walking around for 2 weeks feeling like I'd been run over by a car. And that's when I had to start figuring out, how did I take on her energy? Why did I take on her energy? And is this a good thing to do?
Mm-hmm.
And it was really, so that's kind of how I got into Reiki. And I learned that, no, we're not supposed to take on their energy. What, like you say, we're supposed to be a facilitator. We're supposed to hold the sacred space so that they can learn or understand or comprehend what the emotional issues are that are causing the pain in their body or the consequences of their actions. It's really important that we hold the sacred space and give them guidance verbally and all of these other wonderful ways just to help them understand that they're actually in control, because so many people think that they have no control over their life.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. It definitely opened up my eyes to so many things. And really, you know, stress is a huge factor. And I know Reiki helps so much with that, just like a relaxation, and helps to, you know, it helps me to kind of like decompress and things. When I found that I was, you know, I was meditating, I was connecting now with Reiki, and I was doing all these things, I was learning how I have so much control over, you know, what I'm doing. And there's so much power just in my own energy and my own body and my own spirit and all that's around me. I, knock on wood, I am rarely sick.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, it's like, it's, it, you know, the mindset shift, but also having the ability to recognize all of these things and use these modalities and use these tools to help ease whatever may be going on and help heal that. So you're not introducing, you know, disease and things into your body.
You know, that's really important, because I was working at a job that I loved, but I loved parts of the job, but the job was really hard on me mentally, emotionally, physically, but mm-hmm. I loved the people that I was interacting with every day. And I was not listening to my soul or my spirit. I wasn't following my soul path. And I ended up with fibromyalgia. And
wow.
Yeah. And to have that kind of pain day in and day out. And it got to the point where the only way I could get out of bed in the morning was to have nerve blocking shots, which were a godsend. But at the same time, you know, I did that for 9 years. And because there was that part of me who didn't believe, you know, that little part that I still didn't quite trust that I could do what I wanted to do and that people would trust me. And you know, it's such a huge leap of faith to really listen and step out and do those things. And I can't believe how freeing it is when mm-hmm. you finally do this. Like, it's just, it's such a gift. So how has this gift been for you and your kids?
Oh, I just got the chills right when you said that. And this was one of the things, the impact that it had for me and my children, was really one of the main motivating factors for me to start sharing it. You know, especially with moms and things. When I took the leap and left the corporate world, the literally minutes after I told HR, so that's when you were talking about trusting,
mm-hmm.
I got a message from a friend that said, "Do you do Reiki? If so, what do you charge?" Mm-hmm. I had not told anybody. Okay. So it was like that universe. I got chills through my whole body, and it was like that confirmation that I am following the right path. So that was like my confirmation. And then when I got home and I told the kids, and they'd already seen a change in me with the Reiki. But then when I took this leap and I really started truly following my path, you know, my children are young. So right now they're 6 and 11. It's been 2 years since I left the corporate world. So they were 4 and 9.
Mm-hmm.
And they verbalized to me, "Mom, you're so happy. I just love that you do this." These kids are learning to trust themselves. They're super into Reiki. They're all about anything natural, you know, oils and crystals and mm-hmm. Meditating. I mean, they do all the things. I'm not going to say it's every day. There's certainly other factors that are introduced, but it feeds my soul so much to see this, because this was never even anything in my world until I was an adult and I sought it out for myself. So me being able to introduce my children to these types of modalities, and the fact that they are able to heal themselves, and there's so much that they can do in their own mind, plus the fact that you can follow your dreams and you can make the world your world and what works for you. You can be an entrepreneur. You can do whatever you desire to do. It's just beyond. I mean, it's so hard to even explain. You know, it's one of the things I'm most grateful for. Just the fact that I can be an example for them and walk the walk and show them what they can do. And my daughter, you know, says one of the things she wants to do when she grows up is be an entrepreneur. And that word was not even in our vocabulary 2 years ago.
No, I know. This is so self-empowering. Just you feel so self-empowered and you have the sense of freedom. And I love it. I love being an entrepreneur. It's an amazing gift. So Jill, how can these moms find you?
Well, I have a website. My website is evolvewithjill.com. That's the name of my actual business. Evolvewithjill.com. And then I'm on Instagram and Facebook. The handle is Spiritual Mamas Unite.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I do have a Facebook group that's a private group for any moms that are interested in kind of connecting with some like-minded mamas. So you can find me there. And I try to be as active as possible, although, like we were, you know, saying at the beginning, social media is not always my friend, but but I am on it.
I hear you. I can only be on for so many hours a day, and yes, and then, you know, it's a good thing that Messenger sends us our messages.
Right, exactly.
I'm so grateful for that. Well, Jill, I'm really grateful that you came on today. I love talking to you, and I know you're going to inspire so many other moms out there who are on the fence right now about becoming an entrepreneur and stepping into their own power, and just knowing that they can reach out to you and get the support, energetic support through Reiki with you. So this is Robin Sheridan, Spirit Whisperer of Higher Consciousness, helping people connect to their hearts, their minds, their bodies, and soul. Wishing all of you a wonderful day. And just because I know this podcast is coming out later, the date today is June 16th. We're in retrograde. The planets are all crazy, and this is why the energy is so nuts. Okay, thank you, Jill.
So you have grateful. A wonderful thank you.
Day.
Bye,
okay,
Robin.
Bye.